This podcast is proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.
Hi, I'm Gordon Muller. I'm the guru in the Doc and Guru podcast. Thanks for being with us. For those of you who don't know me, I've spent over 40 years in the media industry in South Africa and pretty much made it my home, my life, my passion. I have other passions, unfortunately, for my sins. I'm an Arsenal supporter and a Sharks supporter, so we're going to do pretty much everything on the show as it pertains to media, marketing and money, but we don't take jokes about Arsenal or the Sharks.
I'm Doug Mateus, the doc on the show. And again, for those of you who don't know me, I spent 30 years in various companies in South Africa running different marketing functions. And the last job I had, I was privileged enough to work with a team that took the brand to the fastest growing brand in South Africa in 2018 with a 47% year-on-year growth. So that was a great achievement for the team, and I'm really proud of that. From a personal point of view, I do a little bit of cycling and also snow skiing, so we quite enjoy that. But again, today's discussion is around all things marketing and media.
Yep, that's right, Doc. All things marketing and media. No subject too big, no topic too small, no subject too hot to handle. Please get in touch with us on our Facebook page, follow us, like us, whatever it takes. We would love you to be involved with the show, and we really want to make it as inclusive and as energetic as I know this industry is capable of. Welcome to the Doc and Guru podcast, and welcome today to Ivan Meraki, CEO of Kantar South Africa. He's in studio with us today to talk about the Kantar Brand Z top 30 most valuable brands in South Africa. Ivan, welcome. It's good to see you. A little bit of your background. You and I have been out of touch since you were the king of TBWA in those days. You've got another throne now.
Yeah, I think my background is far much more on the marketing, particularly marketing consultancy, and then a bit of dabbling into advertising. And then it's like I've gone completely where marketing and communication starts, which is about research and insights.
Well, you've got the right guy sitting next to you, Doc. This is Brand Z, top 30 most valuable brands in the country. I can see your eyes sparkling from here.
Thanks, Gordon. Thanks very much. Oh, and yes, it's great. You know, it's the second year that Kantar's brought out this report, although it's been going for a long time abroad.
Yeah. And thanks to regional CEO Charles Forrester, who... It was a labor of love of convincing Global to do it in South Africa. And it has been years and years of trying to get us here. But if you consider, I think, the size of our market, you know, it takes quite a lot of convincing that we do punch way above our weight. So it's such an honor for us to be included in the Brand Z platform, which is, as you said, it's been a second year.
Mm. Which is great. I think I read it's only 14 countries around the world of which we're one of them. So that's...
Indeed.
Yeah, and I think that does... And we'll talk a little bit about a contribution value of brands and brands punching above their weight.
Yeah.
And we've certainly got examples of that. So that's quite a nice lead-in in terms of that topic. But Ivan, let's just talk as a scene setter for people out there. If you can just give us an overview of the report and then a little bit about the methodology in terms of how you guys got to the top 30 South African brands.
As you know, there are many brand valuation, but I think what we pride ourselves in terms of Brand Z is the only one that combines financial analysis and financial impact and combines it with consumer perceptions of it. So we've got all data points across the world in terms of our ongoing quantitative research that we do in terms of perceptions of people about brands. And then that gets multiplied with the actual financial of the brand. So what it means is when you see an evaluation of a brand, sometimes it can be because of the financial contribution, not necessarily the brand contribution.
Mm.
Obviously, the ultimate is to be strong on both. But we all know that in is where the issue is about how do we convince the bean counters to say brand and brand investment has got a financial impact.
So, it's interesting for me that, you know, the top 30 brands in South Africa sounds like a success story, but the top 30 brands in South Africa have declined in value year on year by 13%, which is depressing until I turn the page and discover that the JSE top 40 declined by 20. So you can be a losing brand and a winning brand at the same time.
Indeed, and I think the decline, because we also look at the financials, and as you're saying, Gordon, if the JSE index shows financially how we are doing as a country, which itself is a reflection of the country, of course, it will have eventually an impact on the brands themselves because of the financial contribution part of it. So we have declined, but the key thing about this is as much as we've declined less than how the JSE index and decline. And the part of that that has insulated us is the brand power. So again, just like, and we are not unique for across the world in terms of showing how a brand can isolate you. Look, it cannot stop any declining of your value, but at least it can at least insulate you a bit if you've got a stronger brand, which should not be surprising.
Yeah, and just, I mean, just talking a little bit of the success stories of that, three brands out of those actually increased value this year.
Yes.
Capitec, DStv, which is quite interesting against the threat of Netflix and streaming, and then Nando's, you know, a serial performer as a South African brand.
Indeed, I think if you look at DStv, it's always interesting. Someone always reminds me about when you look at brands, sometimes we must not look at them through the sentient lens. Because for you and I, for you and I, the issue of Netflix is top of the mind.
Sure.
But if you look totally at the population and what DStv still offers them, especially on the compact and the growth of that, yes, they might be having a challenge on the premium side of it. And because that's where you and I have got options and look at things. But if you look at the compact, that's all that people might be having.
Yeah.
So they continue to be adding value to people's life. And of course, in terms of their super sport channel, the exclusivity that they do have on that as well. Yeah, being such a soccer met country, it plays a role as well.
And it's world class, you know. I think that,
indeed,
you know, that channel, those channels are just superb. You know, they're just absolutely world class channels. And so you've got to take hats off and continue to say well done to the DStv crew for that.
Yeah, and the product offering, you know, I mean, it's interesting. Let's have a quiz here, see how well you go. You kept talking Compact Plus there. What's the cheapest subscription bouquet for DStv per month? So we know what premium is. It's $800 or so. What's the cheapest?
I think the cheapest should be about just under 100 rand.
100 rand, Doc?
Yeah, about 200 rand.
Yeah.
Cheapest is 29. 29 rand is easy view. So DStv plays way deeper into the traditional market, SABC's traditional space than you could possibly imagine, which is interesting for me because one of the key survival points on the winning brands globally, not just in South Africa, is the issue of brand purpose.
Yes.
And you're saying that one of the clear differentiators in South Africa is because of our link to Ubuntu as a mindset.
Yes.
That issue of brand purpose is even more important in South Africa.
Absolutely. And it's interesting you talk about brand purpose because sometimes you must be careful as marketeers. As you know, there is a new thing that seems to be the silver bullet for everything. Mm. The whole world is talking about brand purpose. And every time you go to an event or presentation, the Nike is always the example. We must also keep in mind that brand purpose might not necessarily be defined as way from a consumer perspective. Like with Nike, it was quite clear. We are thinking a brand purpose that is even a bit more risky. And if you look at the local aspect of it, it's even clear in terms of discovery. But sometimes brands that were taken to have a strong brand purpose, they did not have a distinct proposition called brand purpose. I mean, like Capitec, like Dis-Chem. Is the purpose and the impact that it has on your life. So it's always being about careful that our definitions and what the consumer look at things might not mean necessarily the same thing. So I'm always quite cautious when every time, and I'm all for brand purpose, but it's always, it's like from a consumer perspective, what determines a brand purpose without you saying it is brand purpose or doing an amazing emotive campaign?
Yeah. I think absolutely, and I think, you know, you're referring to Nike and the Dream Crazy global campaign with Colin Kaepernick, and I think that just put them on the next level. That was risky because, you know, if you look at their stock price and initially it was a bold move that could have backfired. You know, they got some other big name athletes involved, did some work around Augusta Semenya, which Discovery also picked up, and I think that was the part you're referring to. And then Serena Williams narrated the whole ad around women and the purpose of women and the and the rise and continued rise of women's sport. We also saw the Simone Biles gymnastics story in America, and then also the USA soccer team, you know, the women's team that just redefined and not just the game, but also the whole cry for equal pay. But just talking a little bit about real brand purpose, a while ago, and I've retold the story so many times, is I was amazed a few years back. I was drawing some money at a Capitec ATM. I just, out of convenience, went there. I don't bank at Capitec, and it actually said on the ATM that, do you know it's cheaper to take the money from the till than from this ATM, which is kind of intuitive. And I think that's real brand purpose.
That's exactly
driving me almost away from their core product. And I guess I perhaps am just one person who's seen that, but I've certainly retold that story and it's resonated with me.
Yeah, that's exactly the point that I'm making, that, you know, as marketeers, unfortunately, we know you latch on to the new thing that is exciting people. And of course, with Nike, I think there are different types of brand purpose, like the Nike one, where it was high risk. I mean, you can be guaranteed that it was highly calculated. Sure. They knew. I mean, you as Nike do not do something like that, that you don't think in the long term is going to pay off.
Sure.
So you can have that. And on the other side, you can have something like the Discovery brand purpose. Mm. And it's clear it's brand purpose, but it's not a high risk. What I like most is what you are saying about the ones that might not necessarily saying, here's our purpose in all flashy lights and all that. But a consumer says, you are making an impact in my life. Like Dischem.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything from Dischem that clearly articulates the brand purpose. But from people, when they see about it, to say, like, here is a... And it sounds quite functional and rational, doesn't it? I mean, I can't remember a great ad that Dischem has ever done. Certainly, it has not won any ads at Lurie's or at Ken.
Sure.
But if you had to ask human beings on the street what the purpose of that brand to you, I think it's quite clear of the impact that it does to their life.
I think what's interesting is coming back and just, you picked up on Capitec, and you know, one of your key points on brand purpose is, if you have a brand purpose, you need to communicate it in an honest manner, and that word of mouth is
it's powerful,
is incredibly powerful, and it's one of the key drivers of success in those successful brands. So, you know, if we look at, you know, what Doc was talking about there, I mean, that's a classic example. So, Doc, was that your first effort at commercializing the podcast? I mean, getting that little cap and tech thing, or did it come from the heart?
Don't worry, I'll...
I love the idea.
There's absolutely right, Gordon. And you know, as I say, I don't bank at Capitec, but you've got to look at what they've done. You know, up against four big players, you know, four massive banks. They're all in the top 10, I think, out of the top 30. Standard Bank right up there, FNB right up there at the top two, Absa Nedbank I think in 8th or 9th, and so they're massive players. And if a Capitec to go out there and to have the conviction and not just to do it once off, and I think that's the issue. And I think, you know, I've sat and have worked in marketing for 30 years, and a lot of the times you do, Ivan, you sit in a campaign room or war room, a tissue session, whatever it is with your agency, and you say, let's work out the next big thing. And sometimes it's easy to get onto purpose and say, let's be cool by association, and we make a purpose. But that's artificial. That's something the marketers have dreamt up. And I think here we're talking about authenticity, realness. There's a real risk. It's no different to don't drink and drive. You know, the campaigns of SF Brewery or Heineken and all that.
Absolutely.
And one of the things I've been outspoken about for many years is cell phones and the whole issue of security and cyberbullying, you know, of where's the big network campaign saying, listen, use our product responsibly. That SABs don't say don't drink. They say don't drink and drive. And I think today society has changed. You know, we've got low light beer, which 10 years ago was an absolute joke. 0% alcohol beer. I mean, you know, so society's changing. I think that certainly in terms of cyberbullying, hiding behind a keyboard, a cell phone, shaming people, I think in time will come to an end. But I think we need to do something. And that's the genuine purpose I'm talking about, not some purpose that some marketing guy has dreamt up with his ad agency.
Do you know which brand has done that authentically? And I think it's authentic when the purpose that you're doing, you can see the direct link in terms of your product. And one brand from AB InBev has been the Cutting Black Label.
Yeah,
if you think about terms of... Black Label is always associated with masculinity.
Yes.
For them to be taking their purpose to say, we are redefining masculinity. Yeah. Real men don't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly the authenticity, because you can imagine there would have been some people who might have just said, like, can't we own something as men? Part of men is the bravado and all of that stuff. Mm. And I've invested hugely in that campaign. Yeah. Now, from a brand perspective, someone might just say, you're getting a bit soft. But those are the kind of people that Carden Black Label will say, if you think we are being soft, then you are not the kind of person we want you to drink it.
Yeah. And that's so, bravery. Yeah. That's, you know, and again, it's a cliche, Gordon. You know, I've sat in an oven and we all sat in so many meetings where we've either been the person saying it or the person receiving it. Let's be brave.
Yeah.
Let's make some brave work. You know, and half the time it's just rubbish, you know what I mean? Yes. We've just come up with something because, and I didn't do it starting out to win an award. It was really about either getting through the next quarter. You spoke a little bit about short-term thinking. It's about getting the next big campaign. It's the summer campaign. It's the big epic piece. And so you say, let's be brave. But there's the realness around bravery, and certainly a brand like Carling Black Label that has positioned itself for so long in its position to go that way was nothing short of brave.
I mean, you also reminded me about something that is quite important about gone are the days where you think an ad, and communication is powerful, but you are living where in 2019, if you think just an ad is going to be enough without the experience or delivery of the product, let alone the paper is beat.
Mm.
That's why you're going to fall short. And that's why one of the special awards we had in the worst experience. Yeah. And guess who pops up? It's people like, again, Capitec, Woolworths, which are the obvious ones, which should not be surprising. Well, except for their cold stores, that's another different kind of experience. But, you know, they are fantastic in terms of the experience that you get in there.
Yeah, you were talked in the report, that's the Kantar Brand Z, you know, top 30 brands report. Let's bring it back to the topic here.
Yes.
You talk about one of the key points of success, so there's promise and deliver, innovation, make them laugh. But one of them was mind the consumer experience.
Indeed.
Or mind the consumer gap, I think was the kind of fun word. And that's where the word of mouth thing comes about. But yeah, at the end of the day, I mean, we've been chatting on previous shows about Ross Reeves. He said it in the 50s, that nothing will destroy a bad brand faster than good advertising.
You're listening to The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media.
So if there's a gap between the experience and what you're promising me, all you do is you heighten my sense of anticipation so that the disappointment, you know, it's like young girls wanting to date me when they hear my fabulous voice on the Doc and Guru podcast, and then they get to see a picture of me. It's that, you know, that's the level of disconnect I'm talking about here.
Gordon, spot on in terms of you'd rather not bring attention to yourself by doing an amazing campaign, because when you do that, you are saying to a consumer, reevaluate me. That's what it means.
Yep, absolutely.
Reevaluate me. It's as simple as that. Love your campaigns, reevaluate me. And when they find that, you know, the old cliche about with due respect to all pigs in the world, you know, a pig with a lipstick is still a pig.
Sure.
It's interesting about Capitec on the reevaluation. So, you know, one has a kind of a intuitive involvement with people, and I'm watching more and more people who look and talk like me having Capitec on the menu. And so it was quite an amazing thing to read the report and open the newspaper a week or two ago and discover that one, they've just opened a branch in Sandton. And two, they've bought Mercantile Bank. So people are clearly reevaluating that brand.
They are reevaluating it. Do you all remember the payoff line when they relaunched first time? Simplicity is the ultimate form of sophistication. If you think about what Capitec at the core was, I mean, they started off from being a micro lender, like sort of a formal kind of loan shark.
Yeah.
And then they move in terms of, we are just going to offer something that is as simple. Now, they were clever, because Simplicity was able to make sure that they retain their constituency who were feeling marginalized and want things to be simple. But you and I as well, yes, I might not move my primary account to Capitec. You'll be surprised about higher people who are in higher SEMs who bank with Capitec as their transactional. Their simplicity works. Do not complicate things. And sometimes, and I'm going to hop on the fact of marketeers, and sometimes I feel it's because of a chip on our shoulders of then trying to intellectualize a bit in terms of what we do. There's a fundamental thing about marketing. It is about, God, as we were saying before we started off here, marketing is one of the few things where the expect and the subject are the same. Can we sometimes just put yourself in the consumer's shoes?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Sorry, Gordon. I'm just talking a little bit simplicity. You guys, I'm just thinking of two other brands that you mentioned, and ironically, they're not in the top 30 in terms of the criteria used, but have made things simple and done really well. One is Rain, the data-only network, up against some formidable competitors, and so we'll chat a little bit about that.
Yes.
And the second one is Takealot. In a country that is not really buying a lot of stuff online, Takealot have just shot the lights out.
Yes, indeed, because if you had to look at them being so relatively new, and that's why they might not be in the top 30.
Sure.
But the beauty about Brand Z as well is not just about the top 30. It's other people who might be pushing a little, which doesn't might not qualify them in the top 30, but they are doing amazing stuff. I mean, Takealot, as much as I agree that it's not, I mean, e-commerce in this country is still relatively quite tiny.
Mm.
But in terms of the growth of Takealot, because when we're launching this in our Cape Town leg of it, and the plans that they have, they are so, so obsessed with the user experience.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible how easy it is. And it's a matter of time that the penetration becomes even far much more. Data, with regards to Rain, well,
yeah.
No surprise. I don't think it required a rocket scientist to say, if the single biggest thing that the telcos that has been on people's minds, as you know, even the government got involved and consumer champions got involved about the levels and the expense of data in this country.
Mm.
Now, you know, so sometimes the answer is so in front of you. I'm going to be about one thing. Here is one thing in this category that is really frustrating people. I'm going to be about one thing, but one thing only, and do it well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And again, that's just taking the groundswell and quilling it, you know, and going out there and solving a real South African problem in terms of data.
But in terms of brand building, the danger that you always have, if your brand is just dependent on the product's value for money over the long time, because it's not like your competitors are not going to try to outmuscle you in terms of the same thing that made you famous. So reinvention. So it's going to be interesting over time in terms of Rain. How are they going to, because you cannot just be fighting and your reason for existence being on a rational reason. And that's where the beauty of brand that is beyond just the rational reason.
But reinvention is an interesting thing.
Yeah.
So one of the topics or one of the points you raised in the report is looking at Standard Bank. So, I mean, it's the top brand, but it's declined in value by 26% of the brand value, in a complicated formula, which the doc was trying, bless his soul, to explain to me. They constitute 23% of the total decline in the top 30 brands as a value sector. Now, that's quite intriguing, and you seem to suggest that they're trying to solve this solution by appointing a whole bunch of new communications agency, or at least that's what it says in the report. You're sort of looking at it, but if I look at your vitality question, which I think is one of the sexiest parts of that whole Brandzy report, there's a score. They get a score of 105 on their vitality quotient index, which looks at brand purpose, innovation, communication, brand love, all that kind
Indeed.
Of stuff. But the brand that's on the charge, which is F&B, has a much higher vitality quotient score.
Yes.
So two things. One, you can see why they're winning. And two, is it realistic to expect a change in your communication platform to fix the brand?
Well, I think it will be not just in your communication only. I mean, if you are talking about F&B, I mean, F&B is not just about communication.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, I'm talking about Standard Bank.
I mean,
I've been in the industry for 40 years. I've been fired by more clients than anybody in this country, probably, and all because I just did my job while their brand wasn't performing.
It's, Gordon, it comes down to exactly what you were saying before, but most particularly in a garage industry like financial services, your communication on its own will never be enough. There's some plots, I mean, in communication where you can get away with it. And that's why sometimes I'm always careful about applying general principles on all categories. Now, if we look at fashion, in fashion, your communication can get you, might be enough for you to even charge a premium. You know, especially if you are a heritage fashion brand. But in any service-related industry, mostly particularly financial services, that's not going to cut it to just rely on communication. So that's why I think even in terms of their focus, which is quite ironic in terms of you're talking about Capitec opening all the branches and they're closing it. The key thing is going to be, how do you, as you close that branch, absolutely transition those people who, as much as they hated going to the branch, but that was their primary relationship. What tech are you going to use it? And it's possible to get people to move on in terms of your technological platforms. That for me and for Standard Bank, that's going to be the big challenge. And it's possible. I think, you know, sometimes we underestimate the brilliance of the smartness of consumers. And if you think about SMS, even at the very lowest level, how people have embraced it, and in terms of things like money market, it might not in our lives, things being like one of the most digital, but it is, and it shows you, as long as it can simplify people's life and you can tell them how to do it, it will pick it up. So there is, I think, over and above the communication agency, as you are saying that they are doing, how do they experience the customer experience, especially once you've closed the branch? What is the experience that people will be expecting from you?
Yeah, so, David Ogilvy said it. I mean, you know, the consumer's no idiot. She's your wife.
Yeah,
so, exactly. You know, I mean, that you've got to give the consumer credit, you know, in every instance, I would think. Yeah, they can tell the difference.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And just as we're heading to a close, and it's been really fun just talking, and we can carry on for a while. Just talking of the consumer and the consumer and smart communication. 2 minutes on Nando's. I mean, they're just one of those performers, and they perform, I think they're the sixth most valuable brand in the country. And if you look at their spend versus some of the bigger spenders, there's a marked difference. But they're smart. They're smart and they're clever.
They are smart. They're smart, Doc. And it's also with regards to the power of creativity. And maybe I love creativity. I love creative and creatives, not for creativity's sake, because I'm one of the least creative people. But the power of Nando's, it is exactly that.
Yeah.
It's not about the spend, but it's their small spend that they have, relatively speaking. What do they do with it? I think all communication experts must remember something. It is not the consumer's job to try to understand what you're trying to do. They don't have enough time to look at their kids, to spend time with their kids. Now you want them to analyze or see through your boring communication. Entertain them, wow them, scare them if you need to.
Sure.
But evoking some emotion. And we know Nando's can do that. Someone might say it's a bit easier for Nando's. Of course, you cannot replicate what Nando's is doing with other brands or with other categories. But you have to find yourself, your mojo, in terms of your category, in terms of your brand itself. You have to, but someone must be, you know, is the thing when before somebody dashes off to get tea or another beer, they said, okay, let me just wait a minute to see this ad finishing. Those are the simple things, even without us as researchers to try to value them. For me, I break it down to a simple level. Can somebody just wait to say, let me just see this ad around the braise, around the taxi, when people say, did you see that latest X ad? That, for me, should be what it's all about.
Yeah, I think, I'm not sure who coined the phrase. It might even be the tall fella, Andy Rice. But, you know, don't interrupt the thing I'm interested in. Be the thing I'm interested in.
Exactly.
And there seems to be a suggestion as well that there's a strong correlation between the winning brands and a television presence. So hopefully that just doesn't correlate to the amount of money you've got, you know, which enables you to be there. Because for me, one of the most exciting things about Nando's as a brand is their social media activity. So I'm engaging more with Nando's TV commercial, the video, you know, whichever the correct phrase is. Do we need to start shifting off thinking about TV commercials and thinking about video as a visual communication platform, irrespective of whether it's on my mobile phone or a box at home or anywhere?
There's no one size fits all. Yeah. I mean, I've been fortunate enough for many years being involved with Apex. And Apex, that's all that it is. It's about proving that it was communication. And if you look at Apex winners over the years, it's a mixed bag. Some has just been pure digital. Some has been pure TV. Steve was pure radio. Some has been a combination.
Yeah.
So again, is this thing of not just because it's the new thing, we just apply a blanket things, not looking at your category, not looking at your objective, not looking at your brand. It depends. I mean, can be, for all I care, it can be a billboard that might shift the needle. Who knows? But just contextualize, as they say, content is king, but context is queen, and the queen rules, okay?
Yeah. Good one. I think, Ivan, it's unfortunately that time where we're coming to an end. But thanks
already?
Very much. Yeah, unfortunately. Just in closing, thanks very much for your time. We really appreciate it. It was great. And as I say, you know, marketing media guys, we can sit and chat for hours. Hopefully, as a listener, you found value in the podcast. Ivan, how can people get a hold of you if they want to chat or send you a message?
Simple is Ivan, I-V-A-N, dot Moroke, that's M-O-R-O-K-E, at Kantar, Kantar.com. Drop me a mail and let's have coffee. And we've got amazing, I think, Gordon, you might have been in our new office.
Drop you
right?
a mail. It's fantastic to see that there's somebody who's younger than me that's reliant on emails. What's your Twitter handle, bro? You're not getting down and with all the social personalities.
Well, it might be. I know in a mail, normally it might be some sensitive things that somebody wants to do or to engage. So is that, and my Twitter handle is Ivan-Moroke, at Ivan Moroke. I'm on Instagram, on Facebook and all this. But most of the conversation that you have is somebody just, and it can just be being a one-liner. Can you guys do? I've got this issue. Can we talk? Whatever it takes. And my number is 0829255619. Whatever it takes to have a cup of coffee to start a conversation, always available.
Brilliant. Ivan, thank you for coming in. This is Gordon Miller, the guru on the Doc and Guru Show. We look forward to chatting to you in the future. So
absolutely.
When it comes to the Brand Z report, and it's linked to Apex. If I go long on the Brand Z report, when I'm laying down some bucks for Apex 2020, I'm going long on the Brands report as an indicator of winning brands and winning communications.
Remember, so, there's no Apex anymore.
Oh, it's not Apex. Oh, it's got a different name.
It's Effies.
Yeah, here we go. You see, that's it. All right. Okay. So
2020 is Effies.
I'm going to edit. Doc's
Tom,
already got Tom, his finger on the edit button. That one's going out the window.
Tom, right. Tom for change. Tom for change. From our side, the Doc, Doug Mateus, it's always nice to chat all things marketing media. And until next time, we look forward. And so that was another episode of The Doc and the Guru. Please don't forget to get a hold of us on Facebook, like us, follow us, subscribe to the podcast. And then from my side, you can get a hold of me on LinkedIn, Dr. Doug Mateus. I'm very active and very keen to hear about your views and certainly will respond. And hopefully we can bring that into the show.
Thanks, Doc, and it's Gordon Miller, the guru, signing off. Thank you for being with us and listening into this podcast today. You can pick up the discussion with me on my Twitter handle, at Mzanzi Media, and I'd love to engage with you on any of the issues that we've taken on in the show. And take us at our word. This is really going to be an open forum. There are no subjects that are taboo, and we'd love to have some of the younger, more under-listened, if that's the correct phrase, voices to join us in this discussion. Thanks for your time.
The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.